Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the thrice weekly Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show today. This story was first published on February 25th of 2009, under the headline Bay Ocean, the town that paid for its own doom. Here we go. Between Tillamook Bay and the sea, there's a narrow, sandy peninsula where 100 years ago a town stood. Not just any town, one of the biggest ones on the Oregon coast, with a municipal swimming hall full of warm salt water and a surf generator. The reason it's gone today? Because the residents paid to build a jetty to make their steamship journey smoother. The jetty changed the ocean currents, and the ocean washed the town away. The residents had paid for their own destruction. Bay Ocean got its start in 1906 when a real estate developer named T.B. Potter got hold of it and platted the town. Potter thought big. Over the next few years, he sold off 1,600 lots and built a large hotel, a dance hall, and that swimming hall, a mammoth structure right by the beach, so residents could choose between cold surf and warm. Potter thought big, but his actual execution was more of a mid-size. He promptly installed a telephone network in Bay Ocean, which worked great for local calls across town, but wasn't linked to the outside world. Getting fresh water was a hassle, too. Potter built a pipeline, but didn't put a booster pump on it, so the water pressure was actually so low that sometimes water would not reach some of the lots. He also installed streets made of concrete rather than dirt or sand, but it didn't matter much. No road was built to the mainland until the 1920s, so most residents didn't bother with cars. Most folks arrived on Potter's steamship, the SS Bay Ocean, which made a 3-day journey from town to Portland and a 3-day trip back, once a week. The steamer trip could be a terrifying ordeal sometimes, though. Of course, it would have to cross the Columbia River Bar up at Astoria, the bar's dangers are still legendary, and thread the needle into the unprotected mouth of Tillamook Bay. This last could be more scary than the bar crossing, which at least could be kept reasonably smooth by not crossing when the tide was going out. Residents started clamoring for a protective jetty. The Army Corps of Engineers studied the place and told them they needed 2 jetties, one on each side of the mouth of the bay, and that it would cost $2.2 million, half of which would have to come from local residents. Well, the residents couldn't afford to do that, so they proposed a single jetty. A little over $800,000 later, it was done, and Bay Ocean's soon-to-be ex-homeowners had paid half. Each household ponied up roughly $450, which in 1917 was enough to buy 1.5 brand-new Ford Model Ts. And for a while, things were great. The steamship ride was much more pleasant without coming across the open ocean. But then something odd started happening. Bay Ocean's broad sandy beach started getting a little less broad. But then it started getting a lot less broad. Finally, in 1932, waves from a massive storm crossed the beach and destroyed the massive seaside swimming hall. From there, it got worse and worse. The hotel started falling, room by room, into the sea. Each winter, the sea got further in. By 1938, 59 homes were gone. Finally, in the early 1950s, the sea breached the spit and rushed into Tillamook Bay, turning Bay Ocean into an island. Instantly, a multi-million-dollar oyster fishery was ruined. Thousands of acres of oyster beds buried in the sand. Salinity in the bay surged. The estuary's fisheries started to collapse. The government sprang into action, building a riprap seawall across the gap to keep the water out. Sometime after that, in the early 1970s, the second jetty was added. It solved the problem with the currents, and the sand started building itself back up on the spit. But it was too late for Bay Ocean. By then, the entire town was gone. Key sources in this story have included works by Bert Weber and William L. Sullivan. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. check out our hub page at offbeatoregon.com to explore all the other things we do. Visuals that go with today's show can be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Got an idea for a show I should do or just want to say hi? Drop me a line at fj@offbeatoregon.com or ping me on Twitter at @offbeatoregon or send a message through the Facebook page at facebook.com/oregon.1859. Also, do let me know if you're ever going to be in Corvallis with time for a cup of coffee or a pint of Hammerhead and an inclination to talk about Oregon history. Fresh episodes of Offbeat Oregon History come your way around 6 a.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning. So if you're looking forward to the next one, well, you haven't got long to wait. Until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.